Raina?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, I'm good. Hey, thanks for coming to the podcast. If you're feeling good, we could just get started right now.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Raina, I want to thank you so much for coming to the podcast for so many reasons. For starters, let's just do this because I feel slight way obligated to ask this. I got to do a COVID welfare check right now in our uncertain times. How have you been holding up in the pandemic?
You know what? I'm blessed enough that like me and my family have been really good. My parents have been able to like to keep their jobs and everything. So for us, it's been pretty okay. We haven't had any trouble at all. And surprisingly, because of the circumstances, I'm just surprised at how much has happened with me and my movement and my career in the past like few weeks, especially like during this time. It's been pretty, I don't even have the word. It's been pretty crazy though.
Speaking of crazy, hold on, wait. Before I jump into the crazy part of this whole thing, I have to say this out loud. Okay. I forgot. I'm so in COVID mode. What we do at the start of every podcast, please kick out all of your social media, everything, where everyone can get Randall Roberts, anything you want to kick out. This is the Randall Roberts social media session. Please go ahead.
Okay. Instagram and Twitter is the Randall Roberts. It's THEREYNARROBERTS. And that is also for Spotify and Apple Music and Tidal and all that good stuff.
Now, like I said, crazy. I want to put a pin in that. Like, I've heard the song Stomping Grounds. It's awesome. And, thank I mean, you. It's just blew up since you've done it. I mean, I know it's your debut single, but it's such a great song. And quite honestly, I love the Roll Tide shout out. I got family from Montgomery. I got to ask straight up, what part of Alabama are you from?
So, I wasn't born in Alabama. That's where my family's from, and I lived there for a little while growing up. But Birmingham.
Oh, so you right down the street, about an hour away. Okay, I get that.
Right
so,
down the street.
You know what's up. So, I mean, like, when I listen to a song like that and Stomping Grounds, the references are great, and it makes me feel good, and, you know, because out of my family, I'm from Detroit. I am the only one from Detroit. Everyone else is from different parts of Alabama, mainly Montgomery and Luverne. So when I hear that and I hear a song like that, I'm a lyrics guy. So I just sat back and I listened to the lyrics. Your lyrics are very personal. I mean, what was your feeling when you was creating a song like that?
I just wanted to get, so for me, it's like, it wasn't just about me too. It's just about like also my family, like my mom, how she grew up in Alabama and all our family. And I mostly thought of them and my mom, my parents are veterans. And so for them, it's like they have to go from each, like from state to state or out of the country. And when you're in the military, you have to make wherever that place is your home. You know what I mean? And so there's one way to say like your stopping grounds is from where you're from, where your family's from. But it's also like wherever, it doesn't just have to be one place. You can make wherever you want your stopping grounds to be. You can make it your stomping grounds, if that makes sense. Like,
it does.
When they had to travel, you had to make that place your home, your new home.
I mean, but since then, it's not just internet guys like me. I mean, you've been getting high praise from a lot of people, like Cassidy Pope, Mickey Guyton, Carrie Underwood. They were already fans of that, of your music. How does it feel to get that type of stamp of approval? And this is your debut in country music.
I don't have the words. It's awesome. More than awesome. Unexplainable. It's like, because nobody knew about me beforehand. Until Mickey, who's freaking amazing, and she's a beautiful person, and she introduced me to everybody else and to the world, basically, because without her posting me, you know, Carrie Underwood, and no one else would have heard me or found me. And so, you know, maybe something else would have happened, but, you know, Mickey did that for me, and that put me on the map for everything.
No disrespect to Mickey. I like Mickey, but I want to say this.
I love Mickey.
I get it. But when you said no one put you on a map, you had success before. Now, I am a bit of, like I said, I'm whatever I am. But you had success on the L.A. independent circle. Granted, it was more pop and R&B, but you had hits like Lying to Myself, Coming For You, Hold On to Me. Well, we do our homework here. You had hits.
Well, this is the thing. So when I recorded this song, right now I'm 22, but at the time I was 16. Lying to Myself was my first song. And then the other ones that you just mentioned, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I recorded that same year or the year right after. And I'm still trying to find my voice and strengthen my writing skills and all that kind of stuff. I think that I tried to find my voice and I worked with a lot of different songwriters and producers there. But I wouldn't say, you know, that I made a name for myself. I feel like I met with one or two producers, like, you know, trying to help me out, try to work with me and try to understand me. But I don't think I really got any solid ground because they also wanted to, they had a different version of me or a different vision of me than I had of myself. Like, they wanted to put me in a lane that I wasn't me. So I feel like the songs that we recorded, even though, you know, we are trying to figure out my sound, those weren't me. So I feel like those songs weren't hits because they weren't me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So, I mean, like, and don't get me wrong, like, I don't know if this is an age thing, and correct me if I'm wrong if it is, but I remember you toured with, like, Drake Bell, Jordan Jones, Phase 5, and this is around the time of the genesis of this podcast. So I was very, like looking around, like, everything was the most interesting thing, if that makes sense. So, like, okay. When you hear these names and you see these people, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. I'll write this down because I may need it in the future. But I guess my question comes down to what you just said. What do you feel like the biggest difference between then and now?
Well, now I know who I am. Before, you know, I feel like as an artist, especially if you're a writer too, like if you write multiple genres and if you listen to multiple genres, it can be kind of harder to find who you are, what kind of song, what kind of art you want to create. And so for me, then my writing skills were still developing, so I'm like, oh, maybe this will sound cooler. I like this person. What if I can try and do a song like theirs? And that's not what you're supposed to do as an artist. You're supposed to find what art fits for you or what speaks to you, as opposed to following people you listen to. And so I think that was, you know, that was the biggest thing for me. And I did go on I went on the High School Nation tour. I think I was maybe 17, I want to say. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, I was with Drake Bell. I wasn't with Jordan because I think she was a few years before mine. Phase 5, I think I did one show with them. If I'm not mistaken, I was 17 or 18 around that time. And so, you know, since then, here now, it's been a few years, so I've definitely, you know, gone through my songs, and now I know who I am as a person, as an artist, and what I want to do, who I want to be.
That's awesome. And I have to ask this question. It sounds like a hack question, and it will sound like a hack question. You've probably been asked a billion times.
Wait, a what question?
I call it hack, or like, it's like unmotivated, something I know you've probably been asked a billion times. But there's breadcrumbs to this. I feel like I have to do this. But after finding yourself, what makes you feel home with country music as a genre outside of your pop, R&B past? What makes you feel most at home? You see what I mean? Just like, I know you've been asked that like a billion times.
Yeah. No. Well, it's funny because people ask me that differently. And I always find that intriguing. People don't know that I even wrote pop or R&B. And they're like, why do you want to be in country? And I'm like, why do you ask every country artist some questions? You know what I mean? So I feel like, for me specifically, it's the storytelling. I love the storytelling. With different genres, the storytelling is a little bit different. But that's what's always been the most appealing to me. is the stories that are told and the way that they're told. Because I've been listening to all genres since I was forever. And even when I was little, that's something that's always captivated me, the way that the stories are told in country music.
That makes sense. I mean, before we got on this mic, me and my wife, we were joking, mainly because yesterday we sat down and watched Beyonce's Black is King. And okay. My wife left the living room after watching that 60% blacker. She just did. Like, she just left. I mean, like, it's Beyonce. What you gonna say? So when she left, and it reminded me, because I'm getting ready for this interview, while kind of watching it but not really watching it, if that makes sense. She's more watching than I am, and I'm picking on Mickey a little bit when Mickey says country music also looks like this in her tweet, and in the field of representation of country music. And then these strange times of radical change and nation divided as a culture at large, how do you feel like being is not a lot?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, it went out like three times. I'm sorry. I was trying to get your attention, but I don't think you could hear me.
I heard you just fine. If we're good, did you hear me?
No, it went out like three times as you were talking. Can you say it one more time for me?
No, yeah, we're good now, but maybe it's my Bluetooth, new headphones. But I guess what I was getting at is when she says things like country music also looks like this, in the field of representation and in the field of like country music right now, it's not a lot of us. It's a good amount. How do you feel as form of in the field of representation, or would that be, do you see any progress being in racial equality as far as country music goes? I mean, that's a big question, so please feel free to break it down however you feel.
Yes, I think at least what I've seen so far, because this is the thing, I don't know if I'm always the best person to answer that question, because I've only been actively pursuing a career in country music for 2 years, you know what I mean? So I know that there's so many people of color who haven't had the same experience as me. So since I've been in country music, things have been really, really open. Like, the team that I've had, we've had no issues. I haven't had any, like, really bad experiences, but that's just me personally. 'Cause I know that so many people that have been doing it for years, so many black women and men and other people of color who have been in country for years, they haven't had that same experience that I've had, you know? They haven't had a lot of open doors the same way that I've had, so I don't even know if I'm even the best person to ask for that because of my lack of, you know, years of being in country, if that makes sense. But I do know that when I look around and I see, like, all the artists I listen to, I mean, other than Mickey, like, how many black women can you name, like, off the top of your head without looking it up in country music? Like, you can't. You can't.
Two. You can think of. Are we counting Mickey? One.
other than Mickey, you know, who else do you know? You can't really... You have to research, or you have to really look in order to find and put to the front women in country, and even men. There's not very many. So and that was actually one of my things that I was weary of when I decided. I was like, I want to be a country artist. Like, there's no reason for me not to be. But I was like, I was a little nervous because I'm like, I don't know how people are going to accept me. I don't know, I don't know if people are going to think that I'm a gimmick just because of the way that I look. But thankfully, I haven't, at least to my knowledge, people haven't been feeling that way, which I'm really, really grateful for, because I was worried that I would come into country music and people would just assume based on looking at me, like, oh, she's trying to capitalize, or, oh, she's trying to be a gimmick and all this kind of stuff. But thankfully, the response has been the opposite of that. this is all really a long answer to your question. I'm sorry, but
no, it's good. Yeah, it's good because, like, personally, I don't look at it as a gimmick. Personally, I don't because here's why it's not a gimmick. The talent is there. And if the talent wasn't there, then it would be a gimmick. When I sit down and listen to your song, and I ain't just talking about just Stomping Grounds. I went and I did my homework and I listened to 67 Winchester. Those are songs in which where you just kind of like that, the talent is there. Because if it's a gimmick, usually gimmicks are one-hit wonders. Maybe you get, all right, I'm going to say this with no disrespect, but it's going to sound like disrespect. I come from the school of Iggy Azalea. So,
okay.
Knowing what I know, when the talent is there, and I'm using her as an example because when that talent is there and someone is, for lack of a better term, spoon-feeding you words, you don't sound like yourself. But when you sit down and you go by the lyrics, I'm hearing life experience in those limits. Granted, you're not as old as I am. I want to make that plain. But the life experience you have had, like, you can hear it in that. Granted, your experience is an experience of so many people. And now that you're jumping into this new world, like, I will say this. I mean, like, I read the bio. I know you're influenced by Pink, Prince, Beyonce, Christina Aguilera. And the list goes on and on. But, like, there's a fighter spirit in you. And I'm sorry if I'm on my soapbox here. What I'm saying is there are things where you can't fake that. So it's not a gimmick.
Well, I haven't really listened to Iggy Azalea personally, so I don't really know what her story is or anything like that. But I will say the thing with, you know, talking about being a gimmick, it's also, if it's authentic, like for me, even if you sound good, if you have a gimmick, people can be a gimmick. But if it's true to who you are, and if it is who you are, then it's not a gimmick. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like you could even have a great song, or you can have a, you know, a hit song, but you can still be a gimmick because that's not who you are as a person or as an artist. But thankfully, like, when people see, you know, that shot glass photo of me, and they see, you know, they read my bio and they listen to the song, they can see that is who I am, and I'm not trying to be anything different, or I'm not trying to capitalize on what's happening right now. That's just me.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I am going to say this. When you see the shot glass photo of you, which is great, we're not crossing any lines or anything like that, and you see the other photos and stuff like that, it's cool because there are dimensions. And this is what I mean by those dimensions, because how can I say this? I am walking this line without sounding creepy. That is kind of a sexy-ish photo. And then you move to the next photo where it's just like you chilling. And then there's another photo of you kind of sort of being goofy. That's what I mean. Yeah. But like, if you were a gimmick, it would just be one of those lanes at all times. And it's not.
Right.
Now,
I know exactly.
Okay, I'm glad you got it. But one thing I love asking every artist. And granted, you're relatively new. Can you listen to your work objectively?
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, it can be a little bit harder because as artists, you know, you're biased and you're sensitive. Sometimes it kind of depends, you know, who you are. But I'm able to look at it objectively. Like, I can look at a song and say, that's a personal song, that's not universal. Even though it might mean something to me, you know, whoever in a different state, you know, in this tiny town would not understand what I'm saying or couldn't relate to what I'm saying. Like, so I know when a song can be more universal where everybody around the world can listen and relate to it as opposed to something that is just personal to me or that, you know, only I can really feel or connect to. So I think I have a pretty good idea of, you know, I can be objective to myself.
Okay. I mean, I have to ask this question because if the roles was reversed, I'm very curious what I would do. Stomping Grounds is awesome. 67 Winchester is awesome. I have to ask this question. As of now, as of, was it August 1st, as we're recording this interview, what has been the Raina Roberts biggest flex?
Biggest flex?
Biggest flex. What I mean, where is it sort of like, I want to treat myself, I want to do this, I'm feeling good, I'm about to stunt on these folks right now. What's been the Raina Roberts biggest flex as of now?
I'll be honest, I don't do that. Not for real. I'm mostly an introvert. I kind of just keep to myself. I'm trying to think of, like, I don't really do that. Let me try and see if I can even think of anything. Oh, what's my biggest flex? I don't even be flexing on people like that. I don't.
That's cool.
I don't know if this sounds weird, but I feel like I don't need to. Like, I don't need to be like, oh, this is, you know, who I am, or this is, you know, whatever. I just kind of let, I feel like I can just let the song speak for itself, you know what I mean? As opposed to being like, oh, like, look at me, this is, like, have you seen this article, or have you done this, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be anti. Like, let me explain. Here goes one of my biggest flexes with this podcast. One of my biggest flexes is I want to say this is a few years ago. I sat down with Garth Brooks, and then me and Garth Brooks, the interview went so well that it turned into, like, we just turned off these mics and we start talking about, like, movies. And, like, the biggest flex, like, we went to the concert and everything was cool, and I'm on the come down of this one little interview. Much like how me and you are talking right now. But, you know, it wasn't a COVID situation. I actually got a chance to talk to him in person. Okay. So, out of the come down of that, I had, like, Trisha Yearwood had a cookbook. So, I went to the store, and I bought the Trisha Yearwood cookbook in order to, like, commemorate. I made a dinner with all of her recipes to commemorate. This was a hell of a weekend. And it was for me. It was just for me and my wife and my kid. That's what I mean.
Okay. Dang, I wish I found it as cool as you do. Usually, if I, like, kind of like to celebrate, is that what you mean? Like,
It could be however you felt like doing it. That's why I said it's flex. It could go either way.
If I'm excited about something, I'm like, damn, like, that was perfect. That's, you know, I felt real happy about this. I'll watch Star Wars, and I'll probably just bake some cookies and chill, and that's, I guess, what that would be. I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of people have this, notion of me, but I'm honestly, like, I'm probably, like, the biggest nerd and really reserved and pretty awkward, but, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I probably just watch Star Wars, chilling.
That's what's up. Now, I know we got limited time here, but we like to play a game on this podcast.
Okay.
The game is called Things I Read on the Internet.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Now, it is up to you to confirm or deny these things. Normally, when I do my homework on anyone I have a interview with, we go down, the internet is unforgiving and everlasting. So, I don't know what's true, what's fake, what's whatever. So, I'm going to ask a few questions.
Okay.
And just confirm or deny if this thing actually happened. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, here's what I read on the internet. You are a classically trained pianist. And you however, you had to practice piano in a storage unit because the piano couldn't fit in your own home.
Well, so let me clear that up. So it's, like, half true. It wasn't that it couldn't fit in our home. It was that we actually didn't have a home. So we had to decide, like, do we sell the piano or do we keep it? So my parents actually, you know, they put it in the storage unit so we could keep the piano. So, but that's confirmed.
Okay. All right. A few more. Your first performance was 3 years old in a bar in Fairbanks, Alaska, where you sung Lady Marmalade.
Confirmed. I remember that.
All right. See, the internet, like I said, the internet is something else, ain't it? We kind of talked about this earlier, but I just want to ask. This is from, like, I asked a lot of questions for everybody else. This one is for me, because I just kind of wanted to know this one. Okay. All right. When you recorded the song Lying to Myself, way back when.
Yeah.
That song is about a crush of the captain of your high school wrestling team.
Yeah, so I wrestled. That was the only thing I was disappointed, because it makes it sound like it was just like that I had a crush on the captain of the wrestling team. But I wrestled, so he was my captain. I wrestled for 4 years, and then one of the years I had a crush on him. And he did not like me back, and so I got all sensitive, and I wrote Lying to Myself.
Those were all of my follow-up questions. My follow-up questions was, if so, did they hear the song? Do they know it's about them? And how did they receive it?
Oh, yeah. Basically, I can tell y'all about that. So, I was 16. Yeah, 16. And it was it was zero period. So it was me and all my teammates, and we were lifting weights. And then I was telling my coach, I was like, hey, I have my new song. And I was like, can I show it to you guys? It's my first one that I've ever done. And his name was Noah, so the one I had a crush on, my captain. He was in there, too. And then we played the song. And, you know, I think they liked it. Can't really remember. They kept singing it all season long, so I'm sure they liked it a little bit. And then my coach, he was like, I like this. He was like, you write about Noah? And I was like, I remember looking at him, and I was like, how did you know? And he was like, oh, I was just guessing. I didn't actually know.
We're lyricists. You know it when you hear those lyrics.
Yeah, I know, right? And Noah was right there, so he heard. He knew. I think I told him, too, if I'm not mistaken. Like, hey, I wrote this song about you, and it's my first song. I hope you like it. That sounds like me. I'm pretty sure I said that.
All right, cool. I mean, Raina, I got two more of these, and I just want to things I read on the internet. And this is this is all right. That was cool, but this to my heart. We have had so many arguments about this one topic on this podcast.
Okay.
You kind of mentioned it earlier. You are a diehard Star Wars fan.
I love Star Wars. Go ahead.
And this is why I have to ask this question. In the world of Star Wars, where will your allegiance fall? Would you be Jedi or would you be Sith?
Well, this is the thing. I'm a big Kylo Ren fan, so I'm going to have to say Sith.
Thank you. You man, you fit right with us.
There's red. I have to be a Sith.
I'm down with the Sith because I like showing emotion. I like showing or having a heart.
Right, and having connection with people.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I get it. I'll do the job, but I want to hang out, too.
I get you. Yes.
All right. And one thing I read, and it made me feel good, and I hope you can confirm this. Earlier in your life, you were born premature, and one of those effects where your lungs were underdeveloped. So your mom came up with a system of humming that turned into singing. So in a roundabout way, singing actually saved your life.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I read it or when I say it, it sounds kind of like it sounds like somebody made it up. But my mom was in psychology, and she went to her professors and she told them about me and everything, and they said, well, introduce music to her, play it every day, all genres. And so that's what my parents did. They played music for me every day, and I actually developed faster than babies that were born, at 9 months and things like that. And so they told me that I was, I start humming and then singing, and then I started talking. And so that's, I guess, how that that's how that happened. And they played everything. Awesome. They played classic. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's what I tell them. You know, because people are like, how did you decide on music, or what made you say, hey, I want to be a singer? And I'm like, I never decided. It's always been. Like, it's always been. I've never made a actual decision. Like, I've always wanted to be a singer. It's never been a question.
That's awesome. And I mean, like, that was the end of it. I want to thank your parents for your service. You mentioned they're veterans, but I also want to thank you for your service. Not necessarily on the music front, not just on that, but you are an active volunteer in your community. You've assisted in fundraising efforts, whether it be the Rett Syndrome Awareness, Wounded Warriors, Teen Impact Affiliates, and the Empowerment Project, as well as doing music, as well as doing all this. One last question. Actually, second to last question, but do you just plan on never sleeping again? Is that what it is? Do you just don't want to go to sleep, or how's that working?
You know, I guess I'm going to find out. It's been a crazy few weeks. I plan on never sleeping again, basically.
Oh, okay, that cool. That is the plan. Well, she got a plan.
Period. That's it.
And one question I love asking, mainly because it's been a crazy few weeks. You are, for lack of a better term, some of the people... we gave a nickname on this a few podcasts ago to... There's, like, COVID winners. Like, during this time where people have just... They really turned it up as high as it can go, and it's working out for them, and you are in that category. It sucks that is during this time, but right now you're doing it. You did that.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just as surprised as anybody else. I'm still every morning I wake up surprised. I'm like, what? How does this happen? So I'm right there with you.
I have to ask. I mean, like, at this time, relatively young, old soul, young body, I gotta know, what has been the best piece of advice that you've gotten thus far?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Let me think.
Yeah, I get on my Oprah sometimes. I get on my Oprah sometimes. So, yeah, you can take a second if you want.
No, I love that. What is the best piece of... it's hard because the past few weeks I've gotten so much information. I can't even keep track. I think basically kind of just, you know, staying true to me and not letting anybody change me. And also, I mean, I don't really know if anybody actually told me this, but I know I've had conversations of basically, you know, how do I say this? Like, a lot of people are, they feel entitled and things like that, you know what I mean? But it's like, everything that I have, like, I don't have to have all of this. Or all these things that have been coming, all these blessings, like, everything is special. And, you know, because me and other people have worked, you know, as much as they possibly can, and sometimes people aren't able to get where they want to be. So, basically, like, just don't take things for granted. Like, and I know that sounds probably simple, but it means so much. You can't take things for granted.
That's awesome. I mean, you're right. And, hey, I know I'm a little bit over the time. I want to thank you.
Oh, you're good.
And thanks for coming on the podcast. I will ask this. Is it cool if we play, obviously, Stomping Grounds on the podcast, as well as 67 Winchester? Because I want as many people to hear you and understand. Because the way I look at it is like this. You down with Star Wars, so I know you down with the MCU. I know this. This is a feeling, right? All right, cool. My podcast is built off the Stan Lee model.
Wait, you're breaking up.
Again. Okay, we good. Can you hear me still?
Yes, now I can hear you. Sorry, it would cut out, and then it'd be a little bit hard to hear you. And I just want to tell you before, you know, you say stuff, and I'd miss it.
Okay, it's cool. I was just saying, my podcast is built under the Stan Lee model. Like, I'm down with the MCU, and like I said, it's a feeling. I know you're down with the MCU as well. And the Stan Lee model is everyone first time. And Stan Lee used to say this in every comic book. He says, everyone's comic book is someone's first comic book. So, in that regard, the reason I ask, is it cool if I play your songs on this podcast? Because this is someone who, under my umbrella, who may not know who Randall Roberts is. This is their first time getting exposure to Randall Roberts, and I want them to hear your music as well. And hopefully you could garner a new fan.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Hopefully, my managers are cool with it. But I don't see a problem with it.
All right, I will see you in court. No, I'm playing. No, but we're going to play some songs because I want everyone to hear Stomping Grounds, and you've been awesome during this whole podcast. Before we get off here, one more time, Randall Roberts, plug away all your socials, anything you're doing next, anything you need us to check out, please, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, no, first of all, thank you for having me, and thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to me. So, Randall Roberts is my name. My socials are The Randall Roberts, which is T-H-E-R-E-Y-N-A-R-O-B-E-R-T-S. And Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all that stuff is Randall Roberts also.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. And quite honestly, young lady, you are welcome back anytime you want. This has been a joy.
Thank you.
I'm looking at my watch. The time just flew past. I know your team is probably pissed at me because I went way over the time allowed.
No,
but
it's all good.
It's, man, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you for having me. For real, I appreciate you, and I'm glad you even liked the song enough to have me on here. So,
man, hey, keep doing the work. When you do that work and you do good work like that, I mean, your talent is undeniable. It's a joy to me to even share the same time with you to have that. I wish you the best in all of your endeavors. Keep kicking ass, girl. You're doing it right.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a good day too.
All right, you too. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Rob.
Okay,
Randall.
Bye.
Bye.